As we enter into this time of reflection, let us stop and still our minds. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you, seeking your wisdom, your guidance. Be with us in this time of reflection, that we may hear your voice. Holy One, you who seek to lead and guide us, speak to us. And may we hear only what you intend. In Christ's name, the one who is our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Sometimes the church is like a big family. I mean, we care for each other. We feel at home and safe in our church buildings. And when the rubber hits the road and times are rough, we come together. We rally to each other's side. You see all these things, not just when you watch the church, but when you watch healthy families. And one thing that I have come to notice over the years is that families work best when there are clear lines of communication, when they're clearly working on the same page. And when young children are involved, when there's a clear definition of who is in charge. Well, today, co-leadership in the household is promoted. And it only really works when parents are united. Many of us grew up in a time and an age where the father was seen as the head of the household and would have the final say, even if it was actually the mother who ran the day-to-day workings of the household. Think about your own childhood. Who was the ultimate authority in your house as you grew up? Who was the person that when they spoke, you listened fully and completely and would follow what they had to say to the letter of the law? Today, on this Mother's Day, we are introduced to the church in Corinth. And we have been hearing, and we will be hearing their story for the next few weeks. This church was relatively new. In a bustling commercial center, they had been exposed and were exposed to lots of ideas and influences. It was one of Paul's church plants. And after teaching and preaching and setting up structures so that they could function on their own, Paul left that ministry in the hands of others. But like so many churches, the newly established church had run into some struggles. And what we have in 1 Corinthians is Paul's response, his letter back to the church in regards to what had been reported to him. Paul, after his greetings to church leaders and the people, jumps right in to the challenges that the church was facing. And the first challenge he tackles, which I think might be telling, is he starts off by dealing with divisions in the church over who they're going to follow. Well, we don't have the specifics, as we only have half of this letter exchange. It seems that Paul has been told that different groups within the church have been affiliating with different preachers of the gospel, that different members of the congregation had aligned themselves and created camps of who they were choosing to listen to, who they belonged to. With some people choosing to say Apollos was right, others Paul, and others Cephas. I wish I could say that this has only ever happened in the Church of Corinth, but we know that they are not alone. The same challenges and patterns of gathering support have been played out across the church, and we have not been immune. While the diversity of ways in which people speak and present themselves can lead to preferences because of our own biases, when that preference turns to exclusion, avoidance, and othering of parts of God's people, we move away from the unity that Christ calls us to. The message of the cross is to give shape to our entire life together. This is the point that Paul is making. Through Christ, Paul calls the people in Corinth to unity. Paul evokes this at the very beginning of his letter to get people thinking about what they are doing by breaking into these camps. When they rally behind one leader and break into parties, or start to not show up just because the earthly leader, who they don't necessarily like or affiliate with, is the one who's at the head, Paul warns that they're on a dangerous path. Close people, even that in itself suggests that there were more than the three groups that are named, had alerted Paul to these fractions. And while it's normal to affiliate and resonate with certain people, it can get us into trouble, especially when there starts to be debate about the knowledge and power that each teacher embodies, as opposed to looking at how do each of these leaders point us to Christ. In this case, you see, Paul had formed the church, had given them their initial teachings, was their father in a lot of ways, and had a lot of passion. Apollos, well, he was known as an eloquent man, powerful in public debate and speaking. And Cephas, traditionally understood as the Apostle Peter, may have been representing the gospel in a more traditional law-keeping model that the Jewish believers would have found comfortable and familiar. Paul confronts the divisions that were created head-on, speaking to inspire unity and to encourage the Corinthians not to rally around one authority, not even himself. For the living the gospel is not a matter of getting behind the right preacher, but it is to get together, being on the same mind and same purpose as Christ, which according to Paul is forgetting the person who's standing right in front of you and turning your attention and focus to the message of the cross. The message of the cross, found in those very last verses of today's reading, is Paul's shorthand way of talking about the entire story of Jesus' betrayal, his death, and his resurrection. To remind the people at the heart of their faith is Jesus Christ, who shows us God's love, which restores us to each other, and through whom we become active participants in that story of life, death, and resurrection. That saving power. It is in this way that he reminds the people that the true head and authority of the church has been and should always be Jesus Christ. In the Gospels of Mark and Matthew, Jesus is recorded to have said that a house divided cannot stand. And the church divided cannot fully reflect the light and love, life and love that God intends. But when we come together in unity, especially in times of challenge and struggle, I don't think there's anything we can't do. For when we are on the same mind and purpose, brothers and sisters, God does amazing things. We've seen it throughout history. the history of the church across time and space. One of the prime examples of that was the student placement that I had when I was going through school. The church I was placed in didn't just happen because somebody thought it was a good place to put a congregation. The roots of the congregation were as a response to the Halifax explosion, where on December 6th, 1917, the Mont Blanc exploded, devastating North End Halifax. The buildings of Grove Presbyterian Church and K Street Methodist Church were not on the map anymore. And between these two congregations, they collectively had over 200 people die. And yet, even in that tragedy, even in the loss, even with everything against them, they put their denominational differences aside. They looked to the future. Talks for the United Church were happening, but it wasn't in stone yet. But they thought about what was needed: unity and purpose. And came to the conclusion that proclaiming amongst the rubble the love and care of Jesus was more important than their congregational differences. They came together. Within a year, erected a tar and paper church. And then, with time, a permanent structure that boldly proclaimed God's presence. Out of the rubble, United Memorial was born. And for many years, that congregation was a thriving community, focused on serving in Christ's name, responding to the needs of the community. United in purpose and mind. Now, I wish I could say that that congregation continued to thrive and grow. But their divisions in their focus happened. And a building that was way too big for them, that didn't adjust to the time, caused some challenges. But even in that, there was opportunities for new life as they moved on. And we see God at work today in congregations. Congregations that are standing in the message of the cross. Congregations that are thriving and growing. A semi-rural congregation in Cape Breton has had to build an extension on their building because they don't have enough space for their worshipers. An Alberta congregation that's seen their givings increase during COVID-19 so that they can reach out even further to those in need. Amazing things happen when we are focused and put Christ at the head. For God is present with us. Christ speaks to us and seeks for us to still be that family who loves and cares and reaches out and comes together, empowering us. Christ is here. The cross is still foolishness to some. That giving up of ourselves for others, that self-sacrifice, the life that comes after death, and yet it is lived out time after time. So as we sit in our own places today, as we hear these words of scripture, and as we hear God speaking to us in our heart, let us end with the words of Paul again. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and there be no division among you, but that you may be united in the same mind and the same purpose. The message about the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us being saved, it is the power of God. Thanks be to God for such power. Thanks be to God for such love. Amen.
Amen.